Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Welcome to the Lord's House for worship this weekend. Today, we want to look at the invitation of the gospel. Back in, I think it was 2002, got the ability to go to the U.S. Mint in Denver, Colorado. That took weeks of preparation, weeks of work, background checks. They had to make sure who I was to welcome me in there and to see their operations. Huge security. Do you understand what you've been given by God? An invitation to heaven. And he knows your background. By the grace of God, he invites us, sinners, to eternal life. Today we get to consider that invitation and marvel at it. Order of service is going to be in your worship folder or on screen. Let's begin with our opening hymn at this time, number 141. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for all of our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by his authority alone, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Remember us, O Lord, not for what we deserve, but because you have begun your good work in us. As you have called us to your service, make us worthy of our calling through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, we actually have something not printed in your bulletin. Usually doesn't happen like this in the service, but we actually have a little surprise for you today. There is somebody here who desires to join our congregation as a member and has wanted to surprise her family. So we've done background work. I visited with this person. They agree with all the scriptures' teachings, and they want to join you in fellowship. And so, Georgine, come on forward. And Tim and Sarah, come on up. Surprise. Dear members of St. Paul's, Georgine has been baptized and instructed in the Word of God. She desires to become a member of this congregation with us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ promises to confess before his Father in heaven those who faithfully confess him on earth. And so you've come before this Christian congregation, Georgine, to declare your faith and unite with us in Christian love and fellowship. Therefore, lift up your heart to the Lord and joyfully answer these questions. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, answer, I do. Do you believe that the teachings of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, as you've learned to know it from Luther's Small Catechism, you were confirmed knowing these things, and we refreshed in them over the past few weeks, that they are faithful and true to the Word of God? If so, answer, I do. Do you intend to continue steadfast in the true Christian faith, to be diligent in the use of God's Word and sacraments, and lead a godly life even to death? If so, answer, I do, and I ask God to help me. Will you support with your prayers, time, talents, and offerings the work our Lord has given to this congregation? If so, answer, I will, and I ask God to help me. Having heard your promises, we, the members of St. Paul's Lutheran Church, receive you in fellowship and love and invite you to share in our worship and mission in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Congratulations. Welcome to God's family of believers here, and looking forward to serving you in love and growing in Christ with you and all of God's people here. Why don't we give her a round of applause? First lesson we have today is from Romans chapter 1. It serves as a basis for the sermon. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. This is the word of our Lord. Continue with our psalm for today, Psalm 23. Please note the directions in your worship folder.
Thank you.
Please stand for the gospel. The gospel according to Matthew chapter 22. Glory be to you, O Lord. Here you see the nature of the invitation. It is for all. We read, Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. We join together this morning in the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated for the hymn, hymn number 565.
Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Bridegroom. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths will declare your praise. Amen. Your wedding day is one of the biggest days of your life. Your spouse has desired and chosen and claimed you. You are uniting with another human being in the closest human relationship, starting a new family unit. Whether you get married in a big wedding or a smaller wedding, in church or at a remote location, your wedding day is filled with emotions and memories. And for such a special day, you want those who are most special to be there with you. Those that you love, those who have made a difference in your life, those that you hold most dear. As Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a wedding banquet, he wants you and me to know. He wants us there. He wants all people there. We are important to him. We are dear to him. We are so special to him. And so today, we're going to talk more about that invitation to the wedding banquet of heaven. It's an invitation that is priceless, but it's also no cost to us. It's an invitation that we want to hold on to tightly and also give away freely. It's an invitation that we want to be bold and brimming and busy to bring to others. It's God's great gospel invitation, backed by his power, and also bringing his righteousness. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Christians in Rome in the mid to late 50s AD. And as he did so, by all outward appearances, this gospel invitation should not have gone over very well in Rome. Rome was the capital of one of the world's mightiest empires of all of human history. They valued strength and military might and victory. Yet the gospel message was about a man who suffered a shameful death on a cross. The Roman people, in their pantheon of different gods and goddesses, they looked to so many different deities. But the gospel of Jesus is that he is the only way. These people from Rome, they loved their country. They were very patriotic. Yet the gospel of Jesus is about another country, a better one, a heavenly one. Paul had all kinds of reasons that he could have been ashamed of the gospel invitation as he wrote to the Romans and as he longed to go and visit them and carry on some ministry among them. But the word gospel means good news. And Paul knew that it was even more than good news, even better than that, it was great. The gospel is the message that all of God's promises in the Old Testament have been fulfilled in Jesus. The gospel is that message of a human, the descendant of David, who was also declared to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. The gospel was not just for Jews, but also for Gentiles. It was for Greeks and for non-Greeks. It was for people who lived in the Roman Empire, people from every nation. The gospel was so great that it took one of its biggest enemies, Paul, and turned him into an ally. As the light flashed all around him, Jesus spoke to Paul and brought the great gospel invitation to him. That gospel invitation was so powerful that it saved that murderer from eternal death. It saved that legalist, Paul, from condemnation. It saved that blasphemer from the curse that he had coming. That's a great gospel invitation. It made it so Paul was not ashamed. He was bold and brimming and busy to bring that gospel invitation to others. 16 chapters of the letter to the Romans highlights how Paul was not ashamed. At least 3 mission journeys where Paul went from country to country by land and by sea proves that Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. At least 13 letters of the New Testament show that Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. Persistence in the face of persecution show that Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. This is a great gospel invitation backed by God's power. But when you and I shy away from sharing the gospel with others, we might like to tell ourselves, well, I just wasn't sure of what to say. Or I thought they might kind of come back at me a little bit, criticize me, or the timing just didn't work out. But what these verses remind us is that as we shy away from bringing the gospel to others, we are really denying its power. We are discarding that gospel invitation for someone who needs it. We're disregarding the wishes of our King. We're dishonoring the gospel itself and depriving the heavenly banquet of one of its important guests. Jesus says, "Whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, I will be ashamed of him and her. When I come again with my Father's glory and with all the angels," we've taken that attitude. The gospel really isn't going to make a difference. It's not going to work. It's not going to do the job here. We deserve to be ashamed for all eternity, shut out from God's presence, bound in regret eternally, and weeping in darkness. What shame. But the same gospel that we have been ashamed of is the gospel that is powerful for our salvation. Jesus took all of the shame that we had coming. He was rejected by his people, mocked by soldiers, disgraced in front of rulers, his garments stripped and divided up. He was hung up, publicly humiliated on a cross, his healing hands spiked. Even his heavenly Father, who once beamed with pride, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased," deafening silence as Jesus hung there on the cross in shame, forsaken by his Father, abandoned, suffering our shame. The gospel is backed by God's power because Jesus took our shame away from us so we don't ever have to suffer that. The gospel is so powerful that it even gives us the faith we need to receive that salvation. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through that word about Christ. The gospel is backed by God's power that can do what nothing else could ever do. It raises the dead to life. It pardons those who are condemned. It gives sight to the blind. This is God's powerful gospel invitation to you and to me. So let's be bold. Let's be busy. Let's be brimming about bringing that to other people. Even those who are snared by false religions, the gospel is powerful to set them free by God's truth. Even those who have their hearts set on wealth here, the gospel is powerful to set their eyes and their focus on heavenly riches. Even those who are infatuated with all kinds of perversity here, the gospel is powerful to captivate them with Christ's true love. Even for those who think they're too smart for God, the gospel is powerful to make them wise for salvation in Jesus Christ. There is no heart too hard, no soul too lost, that the gospel is not powerful enough to soften that heart and to reclaim that soul. Let's not be ashamed of the gospel. Let's take it to other people. Everyone we know, every neighbor here in our community, and by our support through our church body, to every nation. It's God's great gospel invitation, backed by his power. But it also brings his righteousness. In that wedding banquet parable that Jesus told, someone tried to sneak in with the wrong apparel. Didn't have wedding clothes, and he found out the hard way what that meant. He was shut out, kicked out, ashamed. That reminds us that there will be no wedding crashers at the heavenly banquet. No one will sneak in unnoticed. No matter how fine the covering of their own works, those fabrics may seem to them, you have to have the right attire for the wedding feast, the wedding clothes for the wedding banquet. And that is righteousness. In the gospel, God reveals and renders the righteousness that we need. Righteousness means that you do everything right, perfect, upstanding, holy. And that righteousness is something that neither you nor I nor anyone has on their own. In fact, the next two chapters of Romans proceed to talk about and to show how all have fallen short of that righteousness. Some by rejecting God and spiraling down into immorality. Others, even though they have the natural law written on their hearts, have broken that, and their consciences testify to that. Still others, who have God's word and approve of what God's word says, they still break God's word and God's law. They don't have that righteousness either. That righteousness is found only in Christ. Wedding garments, wedding clothes, usually a lot of effort goes into picking those out and getting them ready. The bride and the groom, they'll select colors. The bride maybe goes out with her entourage, her mother, and some of her bridesmaids, and they go to several bridal boutiques, look online, several websites, flip through binders. Then there's fittings and measurements. And don't forget to pick everything up the day before the wedding. So much effort goes into wedding clothes. But all the effort for our wedding clothes was put in by Jesus. From the time he wore swaddling clothes to the time his garments were divided at the cross, Jesus did everything right for us. Jesus' righteousness, every clause and every command of God's holy law kept by Jesus, every scribble and every statute of God's laws satisfied, every one of Jesus' ways and works and words was fulfilled perfectly for us. That's our righteousness. And the righteousness that the gospel reveals, God robes you and me in that. From the time that we're little, we're used to dressing ourselves. We put our own pants on, our own shirts. We put our own coats and our hats on as we go outside. But wedding clothes are a little bit different, aren't they? That's why a bride has attendants to help her get dressed. And I and many other groomsmen I've known can't figure out how to do cufflinks, or how to adjust our vest, or keep our tie straight. We need help with those wedding clothes. It's the same with Jesus' righteousness. We're passive in that. That's God's work for us. It's a righteousness revealed to us that is by faith from first to last, from beginning to end, completely by faith. And the faith we need to receive that righteousness, that is the result of the gospel. The righteous will live by faith. That was God's answer to Habakkuk, who complained and questioned, now, what is it with all this evil and injustice all around me, Lord? The Lord's answer, the righteous will live by faith. That's the Lord's answer for all of our evil, all of our wickedness as well. The righteous will live by faith. Given to you, worked by that powerful gospel, Christ's righteousness revealed and brought to you, offered to you in the gospel. So many different ways to send an invitation. Maybe it's just a simple card sent through snail mail. Or maybe you've received a wedding invitation that had more inserts than one of those wooden Russian dolls where you keep opening it up and there's another one inside. Or there's evites or entire websites set up to inviting and informing people about their wedding. So many different kinds of invitations and ways invitations come to us. It's the same with the gospel. God's great gospel invitation comes to you and me in so many different ways. As we read the scriptures, as we hear the absolution in worship, as another Christian brings Jesus' forgiveness to us, as we listen to a sermon, in the sacrament of baptism, in God's Holy Supper, as we gather around a devotion with our family or friends, God's great gospel invitation comes to you and me. And through faith, God robes us in Christ's righteousness. Let's be busy and brimming and bold in bringing this great gospel invitation to others. When a couple plans their wedding, usually they try to be a little conscious about how many people they invite, how many attendees. Because each attendee costs a certain amount, another plate, another place at the banquet. Should we really invite those quirky relatives, the distant relatives who live halfway across the country? How about those people that we see all the time, but we don't really feel that close to? So we may try to cut some costs, but not God. He spares no expense. He wants all people to be saved. He wants his banquet hall to be filled. He wants everyone, whether they seem outwardly good or bad, all people at his banquet. So he sends you, he sends me, he sends all of his servants with this great gospel invitation. So powerful to work in you and me. So powerful to save us. So amazing that it robed us in Christ's righteousness. So let's go. Let's speak up. Let's send it out. Let's hand that invitation off. It's backed by God's power and it brings Jesus' righteousness. God's great gospel invitation for all. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Almighty Lord, we can only imagine the depth of shame Adam and Eve had that day in the garden, standing naked with fig leaves falling to the ground. They had no business being in your presence. But you made it your business in Christ to change that. You made it your mission to outfit us. You made it your work to send us invitation after invitation. You made our sin your problem and gave us your life. So your people are not ashamed of your gospel. It is our joy, our strength, and the end of all shame. Strengthen us daily by your gospel and ready us to feast with you. 50 years ago, you united Steve and Kathy Springer to each other in marriage. Because of your faithfulness to them and because of your powerful gospel, their love grew year after year over all of those years, both for you and for each other. Lord, we praise and thank you for everything you have done for them, their children and grandchildren, and ask you to continue to bless this home and this couple with many more years together. We also ask you to give all this to Derek Gupsch and Stephanie Winkle, united here in marriage yesterday. Lead them to treasure your gospel invitation and build their home from day one around your love. We ask all of these things in your name as we join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Please be seated. The ushers are going to continue their practice of going down one side of the sanctuary and then switching over to the other side. They'll also do a few more on this side, and then this side allow the spacing, so maybe about 10 to 12 on this side and around 14 at a time on this side. Please just follow the usher's direction. We'll continue with the sacrament.
Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of all men.
take and eat. This is the true body of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and eat. This is your Savior's true body.
Take and drink. This is your Savior's true blood.
take and eat. This is the true body of our... We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated for the hymn. Again, good morning, everyone. Guests and visitors, thrilled to have you. Love to have you come worship the Lord with us again. A couple of announcements for you. Overall, very brief. Bible study today starts at 9:25. We're going to do a little bit of coffee. There might be a little bit of goodies. We're going to do this not outside today, but in the commons. So straight back. We didn't set up any chairs. It's just kind of standing room, mixing and mingling. But goodies back there. We'll meet back here about 9:25 to start. Also, a lot of Bible studies in the worship folder if you want to check those out, teens tonight, as well as upcoming Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday type opportunities. Please check those out. Israel update, just want to let you know sometimes the announcements get a little repetitious in the worship folder, but as far as what's printed there, but we have 9 people right now who are coming, and I know Pastor Shoreline from Christ Alone in Thiensville, he has 6, and he said to me yesterday that he really hasn't been promoting it a ton, so it's going to be a good group going. So that's a year and a half about from now. If you want more information, talk to me, and then welcome Georgine. And I don't know if everybody knows, a little background to this. So Georgine concocted this plan and was working it out with me, and we went over God's Word and studied all of this, and then, of course, she wanted to be a member, so I took it to the elders, and I presented her name, Georgine Dexheimer, and Bill Reichert says, "Well, that's my sister." I'm still learning. Still learning who's related to whom. So she has relatives here. Bill and his wife are here this morning as well. But, you know, welcome. Congratulations to you. We're thrilled to have you here. And if you want, usually what we do is we have new members shake hands. You don't have to do that. But if you just want to say hi to people as they're walking out, you can come on out with the pastors and maybe pull your mask down a touch. They can see your face a little bit. But thrilled to have you again. Those are my announcements. Anything else from you to emphasize for the week ahead? Not seeing any. Please greet one another. God's blessings. Oh, I did have one. John, sorry about that. Two more people just for cleaning pews. Thank you very much. God's blessings on your week.